Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I'm fine, brother. How are you? Good morning, everyone. I know we are coming from Sunday school, but Sister has us online already. But good morning, Brother Maurice. Lord bless. Lord bless. Yes. Thank God for Sister Holmes. Thank God for her being here, and thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for each and every one being in the house of the Lord this morning, the children being out, and thank God for them. And good, as we said, to see Zaria this morning, and good to know that God is still on the throne. Amen.
Yeah.
His goodness has been bestowed upon us. Thank God for those listening in already online. Pray God's continued blessings be upon each and every one. Let us look to the Lord. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, truly we look to Thee once again. We want to thank You for all that You have done for us. Thank You for Your hand of love and mercy extended unto us this day. Thank You for allowing us to rise this morning, clothed in our right mind, giving the activity and use of our limbs, and blessing us, Lord, with a reasonable portion of health and strength and well-being. We thank You, Lord God, for the saints gathering in the house of the Lord. We thank You for those who are online. Thank You for all those, Lord God, who felt it well to be out in the house of the Lord this morning. We want to give You praise and glory and honor on that behalf. We want to thank You, Lord God, for looking out and seeing our dear Sister Holmes, dear Father. She pressed her way to be here, dear Father. We ask the Lord that You would continue to look down upon her with favor, continue to be her guide and her direction and the strength she so desperately stands in need of. We ask the Lord that You remember her family members as they care for her, Lord God. We ask a special prayer and blessing be upon them likewise. Thank You, Lord God, that we look out and see Sister Carol, dear Father. You heard, dear Heavenly Father, her grandson is going for an extensive surgery, Lord God, on Tuesday, dear Father. And so we ask that You go ahead and prepare the way, dear Lord. We ask that You be with the doctors, Lord God, and be with him, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask in the name of Jesus that Thou would bless him, dear Heavenly Father, that Thou would grant him a speedy recovery, dear Heavenly Father, from this surgery, Lord God. You know all about it. You know what he stands in need of. And so we're just lifting him up to You this morning and ask in the name of Jesus that You would bless. Remember Sister Carol in a special way. We thank You for this, dear sister, and ask that You would continue to bless her, dear Lord. Give her the desires of her heart, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, and one of her desires is for her family members to turn their lives over to You. So we ask in the name of Jesus that You would grant according to Your riches in Christ Jesus. Father, we want to thank You for seeing Sister Regina. We ask the Lord Your blessings upon her. Thank You for all that You've done for her, and ask that You would continue, Lord God, to look in upon her, dear Heavenly Father, each and every day, dear Lord. We ask that You would bless her in her eyes, dear Heavenly Father, that she can continue to read the Word of God, dear Father, and to study, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God, for her sweet spirit, and ask that You would continue to bless and be with her. Remember her family in a special way, her daughter and her grand and great-grands, dear Father. We ask the Lord that You would bless them, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we want to thank You, Lord God, this day for seeing all the children out, dear Heavenly Father. Father. Thank you for bringing them back, dear Lord. Thank you for the questions that they ask, dear Heavenly Father. We hope and pray, Lord God, that they're getting the understanding that they need, dear Heavenly Father, that one day they will turn their lives over to Thee. Father, we're hearing, dear Father, they're 13 and 14 and 15 years old now, dear Heavenly Father, and we know that this world is not friendly to these young people, dear Heavenly Father. There's so many devices, so many vices, and so many things that are out there in this world, but we pray in the name of Jesus that you keep our children from the snares and pitfalls of Satan and from the evilness of this day and time. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus you bless them individually and collectively, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, we just ask that you remember their parents as they raise them in these perilous times. We ask, oh, Lord, that you would be with them, dear Heavenly Father. You told us in the Word, if we train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart, dear Father, from your Word. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless our children as they grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee. Help the teachers, Lord God, to continue to teach the Word of God. We thank you, Lord God, for this past quarterly, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for the warnings, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, that you left it on record in your Word, dear Heavenly Father. And we also thank you for your goodness, dear Lord, throughout this lesson that we've learned, dear Father, that there are warnings and there are goodness. There are things that you bring, dear Heavenly Father. And Father, help us, Lord God, to receive them all, dear Heavenly Father, so that we may grow, dear Father, in grace and in the knowledge of you. Father, we want to thank you for our ushers this morning. Ask that you would continue to bless each and every one. Ask that you would be with them, Lord God, as they usher souls into the house of God. We pray a special prayer and blessing upon Brother Mann, dear Father. Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for this dear brother. And as he greets us at the door, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless him, Lord God, up this morning on the bus with Sister Millicent, Lord God, to go out to pick up, dear Father, so that Brother Javier could be in the house of the Lord today. Father, we thank you for that, knowing that he's 90-some years old, dear Father, and still, Lord God, wanting to be out, dear Father, and helping others to make it their way to the house of God. Bless him and be with him in a mighty way, dear Father, we pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would continue. Remember Brother Reggie, dear Lord, we thank you for him. Thank you for how you have blessed him, Lord God, and how he's coming along, dear Lord. We thank you for that and ask that you would continue to look down upon our dear brother, remembering Brother Levester likewise, dear Father. Thank you for him. Thank you for his wisdom and all that you've done for him, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you would bless him in body, spirit, mind, and soul. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for him and Brother Maurice on last week, dear Father, as we went through the Bible study, dear Father. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God, for the words of wisdom. Thank you, Lord God, for the study, Lord God, that you gave to our dear brothers, Lord God, so that they could rightly divide the word of truth for all that were in attendance. So even those that were on Zoom, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we received, dear Heavenly Father, our food for our soul the entire week, dear Heavenly Father. We were even given some things to go home, dear Father, to be able to even meditate a little bit more on throughout the upcoming weeks, dear Heavenly Father. So Father, we ask that you would continue to bless our dear brothers. We ask that, dear Lord, that you would bless them, dear Father, body, spirit, mind, and soul. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We looked out and saw our dear new Converse, Sister India. She's here, dear Father. Lord. We thank you, Lord. She was here every day last week, dear Father, for the Bible study. Father, she's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And you said, if you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. Yes, and so we ask in the name of Jesus that you fill her cup, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus that you will continue to help her to strive on, dear Heavenly Father, so that she will reach, dear Heavenly Father, that perfection you talk about in your word. Father, we ask, oh Lord, you remember her children in a special way, Lord God. Remember her home, her house, oh Lord God. Father, we ask that you remember our other saints that may be still on their way. We don't see Sister Lillian. We thank you, Lord God, that she was able to be out last week. Likewise, dear Father, we ask your blessings upon her, Lord God. We know, Lord God, in her body she struggles, Lord God, but we just thank you, Lord God, that she presses on to be here, dear Father. Ask that you would bless her, dear Heavenly Father, not only body, spirit, mind, and soul, but bless her in her home, dear Heavenly Father, and her finances, Lord God. We pray that you give her the desires of her heart, dear Heavenly Father, and we know Sister Lillian's going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Yes. Father, we ask, oh Lord, likewise, that you would remember, Lord God, Sister Kiba. We don't see her, Lord, as of yet. Ask your blessings continue to be upon her. We ask, oh Lord, that you would likewise remember Miss Betty, dear Father. Yes. I haven't seen her out, dear Father, lately. Ask your blessings upon her, likewise. Remember her grandchildren in a special way. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would remember also, Lord, Sister Carol. We haven't seen her, dear Heavenly Father. Like we haven't seen Sister Stephanie, Lord God. There's some
souls, Lord God, that we haven't seen in a while, dear Father. We haven't seen Brother Monty, Sister Sandy, Lord God. Praying, Lord God, that you would speak to hearts, dear Father. Help them to come to the house of God, Lord God, so they can worship with their brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, dear Lord. Father, we pray likewise for Brother Robert and his family. Remember his daughter, dear Lord, Micah, Lord God, and her twin sister who will be going off to school, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you would bless them and be with them, Lord God. We thank you for them and ask your hand of love and mercy be extended unto this family. Lord, remember our families who are traveling, Lord God, the Belton family in a special way, Lord God. Ask that you grant traveling mercies over the airway this day, dear Father. They'll be flying out from the Georgia on their way back here to Columbus, Ohio, Lord God. Lord, we know that just like you took them there safely, Lord God, they didn't have any problems. We know, Lord God, you're able to bring them back home. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you go ahead, prepare the airway for them, dear Heavenly Father, that they may travel home with their two young sons, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and ask that you would bless them and be with them, Lord God. We hear on the news, Lord God, all the disturbance in the air, dear Father, all the unruly passengers and various things that are going on. But we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you spare your children of these things, dear Father, and that you would grant them safe arrival. Not forgetting Brother Byrene, Lord God, who is traveling likewise, dear Father. We ask that you would be with him. We trust, Lord God, that they've all had a good vacation, a good break, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you bring them home as they travel over the highways, Lord God. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Allow no accidents to befall them likewise, dear Father. We ask that you would bless and be with them, Lord God. We know if Brother Byron was here, he would ask us to remember his family. So remember his children, Madeline and Jacob, in a special way, Lord God. Father, we just pray that you would bless and remember the request. And I believe Judy's family had some illness there, Lord. And we just ask that you would look in upon those. Now, Father, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning for all that you have done, Heavenly Father. We don't want to forget anyone, Lord God. So we ask that you remember all our brothers and sisters in Christ across the land, dear Heavenly Father. We have special ones, Lord God, that we've been lifting up, dear Father, to you in prayer because of their illness. Brother Delmar, Lord God, we ask that you would remember him, Lord God, in a special way, Lord God. We pray that you keep him encouraged, Lord God, to run this race, dear Heavenly Father. We know, Lord God, he's battling cancer in his body, dear Father, but we know you're bigger than cancer, dear Heavenly Father. We know you're bigger than all these illnesses and these diseases in these lands, dear Father. And Brother Delmar has done what you've said for him to do. He's brought it to the body of Christ, and we're praying and lifting him up before you, Lord God, not forgetting his companion as she goes to this with him likewise, dear Father. Lord, we know you're able, dear Father. We know you're able, Lord God, to touch and heal him in his body, Lord God, just like you did Brother Byrene, Lord God. We know nothing's too hard for you, dear Heavenly Father. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we commend him into your hands, dear Father, and ask that you would touch and heal him if it be your will, dear Father. Likewise, we ask, Lord Father, do you remember Sister Ruth, dear Heavenly Father? We understand, Lord God, that she's due to have surgery, Lord God. We know that, dear Father, we heard that there's something going on, dear Father. But Lord, we know you're able, dear Heavenly Father, to bless her and her body, dear Father. We know you're able to strengthen her, Lord God. But we ask in the name of Jesus that you strengthen her mind, dear Father. Strengthen her heart, dear Heavenly Father. Increase her faith in you, dear Heavenly Father. Help her to know, Lord God, although the doctors may say what they want, Lord God, dear God, they can go in, dear Father, and try to fix up whatever they want, but it is ultimately up to you, dear Heavenly Father. And so we know you're able to bring her through if it be your will. Help her, Lord, to commit her life over to you, dear Heavenly Father. And if it doesn't go the way that she thinks it should go, it will go the way that you want it to go, because we are told in your word, for we know that all things work together to the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Bless your holy name, dear Father, this day. Father, we ask that you would continue to remember all our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially Sister Blake, dear Father. Thank you for her being here. Thank you, Lord God, for her faithfulness to the cause of you, Lord God. Thank you for her help that she gives unto me, dear Father. We just ask that you would bless this dear sister. We ask that you would grant her, dear Father, the desires of her heart likewise, dear Father. We ask, oh Lord, that you remember Sister Millicent as she leads the devotional service. We pray, Lord God, your blessings upon her too, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for all that you've done for Sister Millicent and all that you are doing, dear Lord. Father, we don't want to forget our bereaved families, Lord God, as they go through their hour of bereavement. We have several in our congregation, Lord God, that are bereaving the loss of loved ones, dear Father. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would comfort the weak Paul family in a special way, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for Terry, dear Father, as they go through this week, dear Father. And on Saturday, if it be your will, they will have a memorial service for her dear brother, Lord God. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you bless and be with them. Remember Brother Jackson Levester and Brother Reggie, likewise, dear Father. It was their nephew, dear Father. We just ask that you would bless and be with the entire Wickfall Jackson family, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you. We ask that you remember others, Lord God, that are going through bereavement. We know Brother Robert, dear Father, had bereavement in his family. We ask that you would bless and be with them. Remember the Vaughn family. Haven't forgotten them, likewise, Lord God. Still grieving the loss of their uncle, dear Father. And, Lord, I believe the loss of their aunt, dear Father. We just ask that you would bless, dear Father. Now, Father, we ask that you would be with us in services today, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit would have full reign, dear Father, over our praying, our teaching, our singing, dear Heavenly Father. Everything and the reading of your word, that everything will be done to your glory and to your honor. Help us, Lord, Lord, to always, dear Heavenly Father, to lift up your name, dear Heavenly Father. We just want to thank you this day for your goodness to us and ask that you would continue to bless. Be our guide and our direction and be the strength we so desperately stand in need of. And Lord God, we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. Not forgetting Sister Laurentine downstairs with the children. Remember her, Lord God. We ask, bless her in her body, spirit, mind, and soul, dear Father. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and all that thou art doing and going to do on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Can we turn in our worship to the Lord to page 223? 223. He is Lord. 223.
Good morning.
223 in the worship of the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord.
2, 2, 3. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from
of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
Praise our God. He's our Savior. We thank our Father God for giving us Jesus. We're so thankful this morning to be in the house of God. Mm-hmm. So glad to come together again with the saints.
Amen.
Amen. Glad to see each one. Glad to see Sister Kiba come in with her friend.
Yes.
We welcome you. Our visitor, so glad that you're here this morning. Amen. We're so glad to have you. Amen. We'll give you an opportunity to express yourself. We'll recognize you a little later on in the service, but just know that you are welcome here today. We thank God that you're here. Amen. Just so glad that God is blessed. Glad to see Sister Holmes. We know that she was afflicted, but God.
Amen.
That's really enough to say, isn't
yes,
it?
God.
She was afflicted, but God touched her as he promised that he would. He's promised in his word that he'll touch his saints. And we just thank God once again. God has shown himself mighty, and he has blessed and given her the strength to be here. We know she already had the strength in her soul. She already had the strength to believe. We thank God that he has rewarded her faith and brought her here once again to be in the house of God. Physically, she was always on the phone listening. And so there wasn't anything that was said or any prayer that was prayed or any song that was sung that she was not able to hear. And we thank God for that. But we're also thankful that she is here today. Amen. So we thank God. We thank God for that. Amen. And just so we know, our visitor is Ms. Delois Taylor. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Again, we thank God that you're here. Amen. Amen. Giving, again, glory to God and giving honor to Pastor Jenkins this morning. We thank God for her and how God has blessed her to be the overseer for this congregation. We know that God is able to bless and anoint her in this service to preach the word and to anoint us for prayer and for praise in this service. We will just give our attention to the things of the Spirit of God. We know that we'll receive a blessing. Amen. Our responsive reading, 1-11, amen, is found in St. John chapter 10. St. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. St. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Amen. St. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Do we have Taylor, do you have a Bible? Is there one on your row? All right. Amen. Amen. Okay. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Thank God for his word. We know that the Lord has blessed us. The Lord has honored us by setting his word out of this passage of scripture. And we just thank God for the way that his spirit moves, that he has anointed Pastor Jenkins to preach. And
amen.
And this is the third message out of this passage. But we know that God's word never gets used up. It never gets old. We can read the same passage of scripture every day and get something new. The Lord can show us something new out of it. We know the Lord is able to bless. So we thank God again for reading out of St. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And we will read responsively. Amen. Is everyone there? Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them.
Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Together, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Amen.
Praise our God. He is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Amen. Amen. That's why John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him, so the believing is what makes us his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he gave his life that we might have life everlasting. Thank God for his word this morning. We thank God for the privilege of prayer as well. Amen. In giving his life that we might become children of God, it gives us a privilege of prayer. And so we're going to ask if there are special requests for prayer at this time. We know the Lord can hear. The Lord's ear is not deaf, so he cannot hear our cries. The only thing that would cause him not to hear us is if we have iniquity in our hearts. We're told in Isaiah that our iniquities have separated between us and God. So he will not hear us if we have sin in our heart. But even if that's the case, we can come to an altar and cry out to him in repentance and ask him to forgive our sins, and he will hear that prayer, and he will grant deliverance. We know as his children, he gives us a special privilege to bring our requests to him. There, we have needs, we have afflictions, we have sicknesses, we have troubles, and he will hear from on high. So we'll ask their special request for prayer. Sister Regina. Amen. Amen. We'll pray for her children who will be traveling back from Florida tomorrow. We'll pray for God's able to grant traveling mercies. Amen. Other requests for prayer. Sister Kiba. Amen. Amen. Sister Kiba was on, but just wants the Lord to direct her path, direct all of her steps. She said, when to speak, when not to speak, when to move, when not to move. Amen. Amen. Sister Smith. That's right. Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Smith. So remember, her granddaughter and great-granddaughter will be coming back from Disney World. Remember, pray for traveling mercies. Remember all of our unsaved loved ones, each and every one. And how much she enjoyed the Bible study from last week and the beginner's class this morning. Amen. Brother Robert Barnett family. Amen. Amen. Brother said, remember Brother Robert, remember his family, much in prayer. Remember a coworker who lost her mom last Thursday. Remember that family in prayer. Amen. And that's the Barnett family. Amen. That's the Barnett family. So remember them much in prayer, that God would strengthen them and comfort them. Sister Melita. Amen. Amen. We know that we've been praying for her for a long time, since the accident. That's Sister Melita and Joby's granddaughter, who was in a bad car accident. And she'll be, as Sister Melita said, God, we know, God willing, she'll be coming home on Wednesday. And that's concerning the fact that she's been in comas, in and out of comas, and seizures and various things. That's the hand of God. That's the mercy of God. And we know to give God the glory for it. Amen. So remember her parents also, who doubtless will be caring for her since she's left the hospital. Sister Holm. Amen. Amen. Sister Holmes, we're so glad. She said she's just so thankful for the Lord allowing her to be here this morning, and thanks to saints for their prayers for her. And just to make it complete, she said, I want to thank you. There were three of them there. So thank the Lord. That was complete. Amen.
Mr. Blake, let's remember all those who are listening on online. Special prayer for Brother Bill and Sister Ferris Day and her family. And remember Sister Maria and them, they should be get ready to get to the airport to fly back.
Amen.
And Brother Byring.
Amen.
Family as
well. Amen.
And also remember Caleb Lowry.
Caleb Lowry also. Remember him. Amen. Lord bless. Sister Carol. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. So remember Sister Carol's grandson in a very special way. Long and serious surgery, but God is able. God's able to go into the operating room ahead of them all, and he's able to bless. Amen. The surgery is on Tuesday. Amen.
Sister Blake, I have to think that you remember Mr. and Mrs. Yusey, much in prayer. They seem to be doing well. I spoke with them on the phone last night. They are, we grew up in the Burnside neighborhood, and they were the pastor. He was the pastor of a church there in Burnside. Just thank the Lord for them. He is now, he can still walk just very little on a cane, but most of all, most of the time he's in a wheelchair. I got to speak to both of them. They sound strong. Their voices are strong. And just remember her, she had had something wrong with her back, and they were going to put rods in, but they couldn't. When they got in there, they couldn't put the rods in. So remember her because she has to care for her husband. And Mr. Utsi, he was the pastor, and he told me on yesterday that he says, you know, when I was younger coming along, he says, and preaching, he says, standing, he says, you know, when people talk about they're ready to go home and meet the Lord, he says, well, I wasn't ready then. He says, I wanted to go home. He says, working for the Lord. He says, but now I really understand. He says, because now I can't do. He says, he wants to get out and ride his tractor and cut his grass and things. Lord's will, he'll be 86 next month. And he says, I can't do those things. He says, I'm ready to go home and meet the Lord. He says, because I can't do. He says, he doesn't want to be a burden upon his wife. And so I just ask that you remember Mr. and Mrs. Utsi much in prayer. I spoke with both of them. Like I said, they sound strong, and I just thank the Lord for them. We've known them since we were little children. And so just remember them much in prayer, Mr. and Mrs. Utsi.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. All general requests, amen, we all need something from the Lord. After the hymn of meditation, we'll ask Sister Smith if you would take us to the throne of grace. This one who has a need can come and stand at the altar to pray, or come and kneel at the altar to pray, however the Spirit of God directs. But just know the Lord is able to meet you there.
Shall we turn in our worship of the Lord to page 256? 256 in the worship of the Lord. 256. All right, hymn. Sweet, sweet spirit. 257, thank you. I'm sorry, 257. 257. Bless the Lord. 257.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Verse 2.
You will hear. Father, which art in heaven, I ask for your concern and your blessings, but also for you to lead and guide me and direct me in the right way. Thank you for being here by the grace of God. Thank you for saving souls. But thank you most of all for your healing touch. I know I have a stomach ache within the last couple of days, but by prayer, you took the stomach ache away. And I thank you, God, the Father, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, and the Spirit that abides within you. I thank you for being here this day, dear Heavenly Father, to give praise and honor to thee, but to give you goodness and mercy and kindness and love, because you've been good to each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father, by the grace of God and through the Spirit of God. We've got some saints here that's been here for a long time, and I have too, but I thank you even more so for that. Do want to take this time out to thank you for our minister, Sister Renee Jenkins, for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God by the Spirit of God, for I realize she knows what we need to hear by you, God the Father, even in the last days. And we realize, dear Heavenly Father, that the times are getting worse and worse. But as long as we continue to live a godly and righteous life, we have nothing to lose, but we have everything to gain by the grace of God. We thank you also for Minister Sister Patty Blake. I call her Minister too. Truly a blessing and encouragement to our souls, dear Heavenly Father, by the things that she does for each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father. Constantly on the go, dear Heavenly Father, her and her companion is Brother Maurice. We thank you for her, dear Heavenly Father, as well. We also want to thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for Sister Millicent as she continues to lead the choir, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for how you strengthen her, how you watch over her and protect her from all hurt, harm, and danger going in and coming out, dear Heavenly Father. But then you also watch over each and every one of us as we travel over the highways and byways, freeways and regular streets, but even by air, and that's a blessing. We also want to take this time now to thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for Brother Lavester. Thank you most of all, Father. Spirit works with him and in him, dear Heavenly Father, even when he helps those in need, dear Heavenly Father, constantly praying for saved souls, dear Heavenly Father, praying for those that are not saved, that he may be an encouragement and a lightning to them by the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Souls need to be saved, dear Heavenly Father, now and forevermore. Time is running out. And even in Matthew 24, he says he's going to shorten the day, but when he shortens the days, souls will not be able to be saved. Now is the appointed time, dear Heavenly Father, to save souls. We have loved ones that have heard the Word of God, but have not strived to come forth, dear Heavenly Father, to give their hearts and souls to thee. We're praying for them, but we're praying that you will prick their hearts and souls that they may not rest in peace. We're praying for those who travel over the highways, byways, freeways, and by air. A special prayer and blessing for Sister Maria and Brother DeAndre and the children, that they will come home safe and sound. A special prayer and blessing for Brother Byron and Judy, that they will come home safe and bound. But we know by the grace of God that you do all things well. Praying for my granddaughter, Noelle, and also for Nye, that they will come home safe and sound. We also want to take this time out to pray a special prayer and blessing for Sister Beverly Carroll. I tell you, she travels over the highway, but she's not alone. God is with her, Christ Jesus is with her, and the Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing her all the way there, but all the way home. She's also an encouragement even to those that she loves, even though they're unsaved. But she's living a godly life before them, dear Heavenly Father. And that's a blessing. Get these souls saved before it's ever too lasting, too late. And especially our loved ones. But you know, sometimes you don't want to give up on them. But the best thing to do is give them to you, God, and let you have your way with each and every one according to your will. And then she comes back, dear Heavenly Father, she's ready to sing, ready to go out. Either she's sending cards or either she's sending something about repentance. Let them know you got to repent before you can be saved. And that goes for everybody. You just can't come in here and say you're saved and then doing everything but living right. The best thing to do is to give your heart and soul to God. because you're tired of living in sin. When you're tired of living in sin, it don't mean a thing to pray to God, because he knows the heart. He knows the sincere and serious. He don't play, but it's something to take seriously. A special prayer blessing to Sister Regina. I always pray for her, that the Lord will protect her from all hurt, harm, and danger, even where she stands. That's one reason why she has nothing to be fearful of, but to put her faith and her trust in God, and he'll take care of her. And that's a sure thing. I also take this time out to pray for our new converts, Heavenly Father, truly a blessing and encouragement. For Sister India, for Sister Robinson, for Sister Thursday, for Brother Javier, and also, dear Heavenly Father, we're going to continue to pray. And I think there may be more, but I'm just not sure of the names. But I know you know the names, dear Heavenly Father. Praying for those to stay together as unity. Praying for one another as new believers, dear Heavenly Father. We're saints. We uplift one another, pray for one another, love one another. But when the problems come up, we can still talk to an individual and be able to help them along the way. But don't give up. You got this far by faith, continue to keep on fighting. God's with you. He's not going to leave you. He said in his word in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's there for you. So if you can't count to us, you can always go to God. And as the word of God says, pray without ceasing. And I mean pray more so now than ever before, because there's so much that's going on. But even what's going on, don't let that bother you. Block it out. Turn it away, but give your praise and honor to God the Father, Christ Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I also want to take this time out to pray for the young people's class. Beautiful class. Sometimes I can hear as they continue to lead into the subjects and to the topics. Good for them to learn while they're young, but don't wait too late. Now is the time that you can be saved by the grace of God, but have a serious heart. For it's really nothing to play with, but it's something to take seriously at heart. A special prayer and blessing to Brother Robert Williamson, also for his loved ones and for his daughters that are in college. Praying for them, dear Father, that the Spirit will talk to their hearts and souls, and also praying that Brother Robertson has been an encouragement and light to them by the life that he lives and by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. And that's a blessing. Do continue to pray a special prayer and blessing, dear Father, for those that I may not know, but also pray for the young lady that came with Sister Robinson, praying for her that she will enjoy the services today, but also get something out of it that will abide within her heart, soul, and mind. And we also want to thank you for Brother Thomas Mann, 92, still serving the Lord thy God as an usher at the door, always with a smiling face, always willing to help one another. Also praying for his wife, Sister Theola, both soul and body. Praying for that the Lord will continue to lift her up, not only spiritually, but in body, mind, and in soul. And a special, special prayer and blessing for Sister Vivian Holmes, 94 years old. How she strives to come to hear the word of God, even when, no offense, even when the young ones can't even come and still drive it. But I look at it this way. We all going to have to give an account in the day of judgment of who we worship and who we serve. You can only serve one God, and that's the true God that has all power and strength over each and every one of us, day in, day out. And one thing about it, he knows who is his, and he knows who is not his. And the best thing is to stay with him now and forevermore and through eternity. Because I tell you, he will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. But she's an encouragement and a light to all of us, dear Heavenly Father, by the task and by the deeds that she's had in this life. Even here at the Church of God. Now it's been passed on down to other saints to take those places. And I thank you, God, the Father, for the secretary job that I do have, for the beginner's class that I do have, but I can't do nothing without thee, but I know with thee I can do all things that's pleasing to thy sight. We do want to take this time out to thank you for Brother Reggie, praying that he's been an encouragement and a light, and even to his wife, Nancy, and also to the others in his family. But praying that they will give their hearts and souls to him before it's everlasting too late. We also want to pray for the cop just downstairs, dear Heavenly Father, praying for him and his family members as well. Praying also for all the cops, dear Heavenly Father, police officers, and everybody that's got a job, and also those that have businesses, need to get right now before it's everlasting too late. I'm like, God, I don't want to see souls lost. but I realize everybody's not going to be saved. But those that are serious at heart and serious about business and serving the Lord thy God, you got to be heartfelt. You got to be tired of living in sin. And when you're tired of living in sin, you won't hesitate. Lord, I want to be saved today. And that's the problem. Get saved now while you can, because time is running out. Praise God. And thank you for giving me the words to say. I was kind of hesitant about coming. But when Sister Patty Blake called me, I couldn't say no. But I know what you've done for me. And I know what you're doing for me now. And I appreciate it. I don't take nothing for granted, God. I don't take nothing for granted. I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Please continue to help me to live a godly life and a righteous life before those that are unbelievers, that I may be a blessing to some soul, if it's nothing but one soul. Help me, I pray. And if I forgot anybody, please forgive me. It's not intentionally. Thank you both for those that are listening over the air, praying for you as well. Get close to God while there's still time, now and forevermore and through eternity. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless God. Amen. Those are the times when the Spirit of God will give you utterance. The times when you don't know what to say, but the Spirit of the Lord will give you the words to say. Amen. Thank God for the spirit of prayer and how the Lord used Sister Smith praying from the heart. Thank the Lord. Thank God for you, Sister Smith. Amen. Before you to lift the morning offering, this is the fifth Sunday of the month. So the special offering for today is for missionaries. And when we file up, when we file forward, the plate in the center will receive that offering for missions. And the plates on either side will receive your tithes and other offerings. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your goodness today. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit felt, dear God, already in our midst, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would bless and have your way, Lord, in us. Have your way in our lives, dear God. Lord, as we come forward, Lord, as we bring our offerings, dear God, into your storehouse, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these tithes and offerings, dear God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would use them to your glory and your honor, dear God. Lord, we don't come, dear God, bringing them, dear Father, to be seen of mankind, dear Father. Lord, we don't post lists as to who gave how much, dear God, because we know, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver, dear God. Lord, you also said in your word, or let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And so, Lord, even though we're bringing our tithes and offerings into you, dear God, that should not be the end of our giving, dear Father. Lord, when we see one have need, dear God, Lord, Father, we can give, Lord, to them and to help them also, dear Father. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to be fruitful. Help us, Lord, to be generous. Help us, Lord, to be charitable. Help us, Lord, to be loving, dear God. And, Lord, help us, Lord, to obey your word in bringing in our tithes and offerings. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give wisdom for their use, dear God. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards, dear Father, over the tithes and offerings that are brought in, dear God. For, Lord, we realize, Lord, that it all belongs to you, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would multiply these funds, Lord, as only you can, dear Father. Lord, we don't look into, you know, using your money, dear God, to buy stocks and investments and bonds and so on, dear God. Lord, because we realize, Lord, that the best investment we can do is to give ourselves to you, dear Father. And, Lord, we will be paid dividends in an everlasting way, dear God. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would bless, Lord, as we said, Lord, multiply these as so that, Lord, the work, Lord, of
of your house may be done, dear God. Lord, that others may be blessed, even in their souls, dear God, and that others may be brought to thee. Lord, have your way. Bless each gift and each giver, and use both to your glory and honor. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I have found his grace is all complete. He supplies every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful goal of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have found a hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All that hath never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how his ways of glory roll. It is like a rain or flowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, that has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All that has never yet been told.
Amen. He heard my cry. Amen. When we cried out unto the Lord, he heard our cry and saved us from our sins. Amen, amen.
Once my soul was lost in sin, and the tempter ruled within, hope was gone and all was dark, despair. I had sought in vain for peace, but my soul found no relief, till I looked into the Lord in prayer.
meeting that will be when the flag of progress marching down the streets of shining gold. Singing all with one accord, holiness unto the Lord, heaven glories and will all unfold. I want to love to come to die, not a ray of hope shown out for me.
Forget. Praise our God. Shall we stand and have a word of prayer? Amen. Before our pastor comes before us with the word of God. We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God ordained the preaching of his word that souls might be saved. And so we're going to ask God to bless at this time. We're going to ask the Lord to anoint Pastor Jenkins to preach the word, to ask God to anoint us to hear and to receive the word of God. It doesn't do any good for it to bounce off of our head or to bounce off of our heart. We've got to take it into our heart so it can work a work in us. And we just shouldn't think that when the word is preached, oh, that's for that one over there or that's for that one over there. God sent it. If God sent it, that means it's for each and every one of us. So we're going to ask the Lord to have his way and the furtherance of his word. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your goodness. We thank you, dear Father, because you heard our cry, dear God. Lord, you gave us liberty, Lord, where we were chained in sin, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, because of this marvelous work, dear God, Lord, that was executed by the blood of your dear son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. And Lord, we know, Lord, what you have done for us, you can also do for others, dear God, for you're no respecter of person. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint your maid servant, dear God, as she preaches your eternal word. Lord, we pray, Lord, that as your word goes forth, dear God, it will touch minds and hearts, dear God. And if there are any, dear God, who are listening to this word who are not saved, dear Father, Lord, let it be known to them, Lord, that you can hear their cry, dear God, when they come, Lord, with a contrite heart. Lord, when they come with humbleness of mind. Lord, when they come with a broken heart, Lord, you can heal that broken heart, dear Father, and give them liberty, dear God, and life in thee. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint Minister Jenkins, dear God. Lord, pray, dear God, that you would give her power from on high to proclaim your word, dear God. Lord, that we might be fed. And Lord, we pray, Lord, your anointing on us, dear God. Lord, that we would receive your word, that we would hear it. Give attention to it, Lord. Consider, Lord, consider what you say, and Lord, and have you give us understanding. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would open our hearts, dear God, to receive your word, dear God. Help us, Lord, to find it, Lord, even as the scriptures are given. Help us, Lord, to write them down, Lord, so that, Lord, we can meditate on them later, dear Father. Help us, dear God, to think on your word, Lord, because we know, Lord, that just because this service ends, dear God, and we leave these four walls, your spirit, Lord, is able to continue to speak to our hearts, to preach to us, dear God. And, Lord, if we lack understanding, Lord, you're able to give us understanding even when we get home, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless us, Lord. Help us, dear Father, Lord, to eat all of your word that we may receive, Lord, the life that is in thee. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pastor Renee Jenkins. Good afternoon. Giving glory and honor to God, Sister Blake, to this congregation, to those listening in, we truly thank God for another privilege and opportunity to stand before you. We know that some are away on vacation, but trusting that God is with them as they're on their way home, we ask that you would continue to hold up the Belton family and the Johnson family in prayer as they're traveling. Pray God's choice blessings be upon them. Thank God for each and every one of you being here. Thank God for you being with us today as visitors. We ask, Sister Kiva said to me that she was going to be bringing you, and I thank God for you being here. I trust that something will be said that will help you along your way. We thank God for you. In your hearing this morning, we read John, the 10th chapter, 1 through 11. I trust you have your Bibles and a writing instrument. I ask the kids, as we always do, our young people, I don't want you sleeping. I want you to get the word. The word of God is for you likewise. You need your Bibles and a writing instrument to write down some of the scriptures as we get going in the word of God. In our hearing, we read John 10, 1 through 11. We would like to go back there to verse 10. To get the subject again, the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. As it's been said, we thank God for this past week. Brother Levesser and Brother Maurice did what God shared for them to do. God said for them to do. They brought us the word. As we draw closer to God and looking forward to September, but I'm still thinking about all last week. What I received from the Lord, and I thank God that I was present and able to be here, and I trust those who were here received, those who were on Zoom received what God gave our dear brethren, who we could tell they studied and brought the word of God to us. It wasn't frivolous, but it was according to God's eternal word, and I thank God for that. My soul was fed. Thank God. We would like to go back to verse 10, 1 John. Lord bless.
Amen.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life
and that they might have it more abundantly. As the Lord grants me liberty this afternoon, I would like to continue our thoughts with you on the subject, a new life in Christ Jesus. When we ended the message on last Lord's Day, we were talking about the depraved condition of mankind. And if you want heaven to be your eternal home when this life is over, then you better get down to the business of being born again. You see, being born again is to be saved. It is to accept the plan of salvation that Jesus offered at Calvary. During the Bible study last week, Brother Maurice gave us some statistics that he read. Very shocking, however not surprising. He told us that in the study that 80% of Americans call themselves Christians. Of that 80%, 45% say they are born again. Then there are 36% who call themselves notional Christians. What did I say?
Notational
Christians, all right? Notational Christians. These are individuals who identify themselves as Christians but have not made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Basically, they are Christian in name only. Now, we understand why Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I say to you this afternoon, if you say you are a child of God, if you say that you are living for the Lord, that means you have been born again. You cannot say that you are a Christian and not be born again. You see, the new birth, or just saying you are a Christian, has become part of the common language of our American society today. Many of our politicians, when they are running for office, they claim that they are born again believers. But being born again means something. Being born again carries the ideal of getting a fresh start, a new life from heaven, a new life in Christ Jesus. We call this being saved or salvation. The biblical term for being born again means being born from above. When you are born again, you experience a spiritual transformation, a total change of heart, mind, body, and soul. Both Brother Levester and Brother Maurice spoke about this during our Bible study last week. Prior to our conversion, we had a stony heart. Our heart was not on the things of God. We used our bodies to commit various things that are not acceptable to Almighty God. In Titus, the third chapter and fifth verse, Titus uses the term regeneration. It means the same exact thing. It means that when you are regenerated, you get a new life in Christ Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about this afternoon? You know, so many people right now are very confused about this very thing. They are seeking reformation. This is, they are trying to turn over a new leaf, so to speak, or get a new lease on life. What the world needs is not reformation, but regeneration. Here is where many well-meaning people are confused. They think that they can be good enough or do good enough deeds that will get them into the kingdom of God. Oh, nothing could be further from the truth. Salvation only comes through the new birth, and that new birth comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because if you have not been born from above, you are still a sinner in need of a Savior. That is why the new birth is not an option. If you don't have it, you're not going to get into the kingdom of God. It is not a take it or leave it type of a proposition. It is a divine must. If you want to miss hell this afternoon and go to heaven, then you must be born again. Turn with me to John, the third chapter. And look at what Jesus said to us in the Word of God. Oh, he says there in that third verse, of John 3. He was letting Nicodemus know that without the new birth, he said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But before that, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He goes on, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? See, Nicodemus didn't even understand what Jesus was talking about. What are you saying here, Sister Renee? Jesus was talking to him in the spiritual, and Nicodemus was talking about the natural. He went on to say there, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And look what Jesus did to solidify what he was saying. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How many understand what Jesus is saying right here? How many understand that if you want to make it into heaven, the kingdom of Almighty God, you've got to be born again? You see, many people are walking around today, and many in the ministry are saying that all you have to do is come. You can come to Jesus Christ, and by signing your name on a roll, you can come by joining a church. Well, you can't join the church at Wayne Avenue. You got to be born into the family of God. You got to repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you if you want to make it into the kingdom of God. If you want your name to be where Sister Smith prayed about, if you want your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you got to come God's way. How many understand what Jesus is saying in the Word of God? Oh, we say many things. Many preachers are saying many things in pulpits, and many souls are being led astray. But I'm here to tell you this afternoon, the only way to get in is through God's way. This is what Jesus said in the Word of God. Turn with me over to John 14 and look how Jesus said it in the Word of God there. You can't come any other way. You've got to come through Jesus Christ. You've got to come the way that he has sent for us to come. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what he is saying? Yes. You see, one of the most precious beliefs of a new birth is the fact that we receive a new nature from God. The new birth prepares us for life in a new kingdom. The only way for you to get into heaven is for you to first get heaven into you.
Amen.
All to the lost this afternoon, if you want to make heaven your home, then you must be born again. Remember, not everyone goes to heaven when they die. Oh, that is a misconception in the land right now. You'll see on many graves, RIP, rest in peace. Not every soul that's leaving is resting in peace. The only way you can rest in peace is to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that you have been born again, that you have done what thus saith the Lord. Oh, I don't care what the masses are preaching today at funerals. If you die and do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, hell is where you will lift up your eyes throughout eternity. Let no man fool you this afternoon. Turn with me to John 8 and look at what Jesus says in that scripture reading. Oh, he says, John 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Look at the ignorance they had. Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you, look at what Jesus is saying to them, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And when you die in your sins, remember what he said, where Jesus is, you cannot come.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, the Bible makes it clear that salvation comes to those who see the Son and believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is salvation is by pure faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. God has made salvation so easy to receive. He is able to invite anyone who thirsts to come to him for salvation. That is why if you say, Sister Renee, how do I know I am saved? I say, if you had to ask me, then you are not. Not only should you know that you are saved, but the world should know it too.
Yeah, amen.
Because God's people live apart from iniquity. They live apart from this old world. We are not like the world around us. God's people, we think and act differently from the world. We dress differently and look different from the world. Turn with me to 1 John, the second chapter, and look at what it says in the Word of God. I say to those that are visiting with us today, this message has been a continuation. God had given me this message several weeks ago, and we've been continuing with it. Also, all the things that I'm saying today, God has given me, it's been down for quite a few weeks. And God, this is the ending of it. We trust that this will be the ending of this message to go on to another. But look at what he says here in the Word of God. In 1 John, that second chapter, and that 15th verse, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I believe Sister Blake, when she started out, we were talking about, or maybe when I was praying, we were talking about the warning that we received in our Sunday school lesson. Very good Sunday school quarterly gave us warning. Here's another warning in this lesson about worldliness. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Oh, do we see it every day in the news?
Yes.
Do we hear about it all the time going on? He said, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, listen to what he said, passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise our God. You see, our new birth and our new nature are products now of heaven. As a result, we are to be heavenly minded. We are told this in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 22. It tells us to purify our souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Praise our God. He went on to say there, he said, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Then he went on to say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Purification means to make clean and sanctify. How then does this sanctification take place? By obeying the truth. Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, verse 17, to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is letting us know that the word of God is truth, and our sanctification comes by this same truth. One thing is guaranteed, if we're not obeying the truth of God's eternal word, which is the word of God, we're not being sanctified. Someone may ask, what is the prerequisite for obeying the truth? Oh, spending time in God's word so that we can be sanctified by it. One can't be sanctified and set apart unto the Lord if you do not have a relationship with the word of God. Why are you saying that, Sister Renee? Because the word of God is Jesus Christ. So you cannot be sanctified without having Christ in your life first. All being in the Word, it will help our faith to grow, and it will help us to be purified. Being in the Word will help us not to be fashioned according to our former lust, and it will also help us to live righteous and holy lives for Almighty God. Being in the Word aids in the purification of our souls. Praise our God. Now that we have a new life in Christ Jesus, it's different now. Now that we are saved, we no longer have to live like the devil and do devilish things. We no longer live with sin in our lives, but we have turned from it completely. With the spiritual birth, we became new children in Christ Jesus. Oh, the incorruptible seed is Jesus Christ. As we said, he is the Word. We are told these words in Revelation 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, oh, the first time Jesus came, he came as God in human flesh. Oh, and when he comes the second time, he's not coming as a Savior. See, he already died once. But when he comes back, he's coming as a judge. Look at what it says in John 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning. You see, many will say, well, Jesus Christ was only in the New Testament. But our Savior was in the beginning of time when God said, let us create. God, Jesus Christ, was there. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we jump down to verse 14 of that same scripture, John 1. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus came to fulfill the promises and prophecies of the Word of God. He came to go to the cross and pay the cost for our sin debt. The next time he comes, he is coming to fulfill the rest of the Word of God. As we said, he is not coming as a Savior. He already died, but he's coming back as a judge. May we be ready to go when he comes. You see, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says it's by faith that a man is born of God. Our faith is a living experience of having the Word or the seed of God, which is Christ Jesus living within us, as he abides in us, as we are now the children of God. We are reminded in Ephesians, that second chapter, verses 1 through 3, just how depraved our condition was when Jesus found us. You see, he found us when we lived as we pleased and thought that freedom and the fun ways, the things that we were doing in this life were fun. However, we found out it was nothing more than the worst kind of bondage to sin. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, when we lived in sin, we thought we were living. We were out there partying. We thought we were enjoying life. Oh, you hear many people go around and say, I'm living the dream. But when you're living in sin, you're not living the dream. You're living for the devil. As sister said downstairs, many of them living out there in sin. When it comes time they need a prayer, they'll call and want you to call upon Almighty God. They don't call upon the devil when they need something, but they want you to call out to Almighty God for them. Oh, we were nothing more than wretched sinners. Oh, but thank God, our Heavenly Father did not call us home during that time. But now that we are in Christ Jesus, we obey the truth of God's word. We are now born again by the word of God. We've been made alive in him. We got the victory over sin and its power over us in this present world. Turn with me to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and look at what it says in verse 4. All these words, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Have you overcome the world? Praise God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, faith is not just a profession of being that Jesus Christ was a man and he walked the earth. The devils believe that. But faith is to believe and to accept that God's word will do in us what the word said it will. That is having faith in Jesus Christ. That is the testimony of knowing him as your personal Lord and Savior. How many know what I'm talking about this afternoon?
Yes.
When we were born again, it not only changed our heart, but it changed our mindset. You think about it, saints of God, and I know we know this scripture well, but turn with me to Ezekiel and look at what the word of God says, what God did for you and I when you came to Almighty God. That's why when you still say, if some are walking around and saying, I'm just a sinning Christian saved by grace, I say to you, you're not a Christian, but you're just a sinner, and you need the grace of Almighty God to save your soul. Why? Because when you come to Almighty God, you have a changed heart. You have a changed mind. He will give you a new spirit. Look at what Ezekiel 36:26 says to all of us. He said, a new heart also will I give you. Have you gotten that new heart from Almighty God? Now that you say you are regenerated, he goes on to say, in a new spirit would I put within you. See, God doesn't leave that old in. He guts that old out. So you're now a new creature in Christ Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah, there was a time when we were out there in the world and we were doing what we thought we could do. We were living a life of sin. We were lying, cheating, stealing, probably committing fornication and adultery and everything that we were big enough to commit. But God, but the grace of Almighty God that appeared unto all mankind, praise our God, saved us from a wretched life. Now we're living for Almighty God, and we can say, he as the word of God says, when he said, a new heart also will I give you. Yes, my God gave me a new heart. He said, and a new spirit will I put within you. See, we don't have that old spirit of the devil, of lying, cheating, and stealing, and wanting to do other than. He said, I will take away the stony heart. Has God taken that stony heart out of you? He said, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What are you saying? Sister Renee, the word of God is saying God took out that stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh where God can mold and shape us so that we can be the children of Almighty God. Oh, we tried that old life, and look what it got us. It got us in probably a lot of debt. It got us in a lot of sin, a lot of things we didn't want to be in. Now we are children of Almighty God, and God can take out that old evil heart, that heart that lied, stole, killed, that did many things, that was angry and unruly, and it had envy and covetousness, and give you a heart of flesh that God can use to his glory and honor. Praise our God.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, I will put my spirit within you. You see, when God has his spirit in you, you're lying on God when you say you can't help but sin. Because the Spirit of God is within you.
That's right.
To keep you from sinning. Sister, I believe, said it this past week during our study. You know, everybody wants to believe that the devil is this little red creature with horns coming out of his head and all these various things. Oh, the devil comes in all kinds of shapes, forms, and sizes. Oh, the devil is out there right now. Oh, he said when the sons of Job came together, the devil came also. See, the devil will try to work his way in, saints of God. That's why we've got to crucify this old flesh. Amen. That's why we got to live for Almighty God who died for each and every one of us. And when we say we are children of God, we live a life that is righteous, that is sober, that is holy for Almighty God. Amen. So that we do not blaspheme the name of God. Look at what he continued on to say here. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, when God is in you, you want to live right. How many know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You want to do what God has said for you to do. You know when something is wrong, you'll say that is wrong, and I'm not going to be a part of it, even if it comes from a family member, even if it comes from an unsaved spouse. Oh, I've been there, saints of God, before my husband was saved. I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I'm just saying he lived his life in the world. I was living my life for Almighty God. But before I came to God, I was on even accord with my husband. We were both unsaved, but I turned my life over to God. So I had to go the straight and narrow way. I had to live according to the word of God. And if there would have been a time that Tony wanted me to go a different way, I had to take a stand for Almighty God. But I thank God that he didn't have me have to do that, because Tony understood, although he didn't serve God, he had a fear of Almighty God.
Amen.
But in our world today, we don't see that godly fear. The word of God says that they have no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, as time and time goes on, saints of God, you can see how people are getting so further away from God. Many of us in here, and I believe I can safely say, you know, they say back in the day, but I can say back then, there was a time when you respected the house of God. Not only the house of God, but the premises around the house of God. You never walked up on God's property and tagged it. You never walked up on God's property and dropped cigarettes or anything, even if you smoked. Many would go across on the other sidewalk, and I know it because I've been here most of my life. People would walk on the other side if they were smoking, because there's a church right there. Nowadays, we come out sometimes. They're hanging out on the steps, sitting out there smoking us while we're in here. When we used to have the electric going outside, they have their cell phones up. We find beer cans and all kinds of, you know, liquor bottles. You never did that back in the day. Because you had a fear of God in you. Oh, our world has no fear of God today. That's why you'll reverence God as a man upstairs. Or you'll say something, oh, J.C. Jesus Christ is not J.C. He
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The Son of God,
Amen.
The Savior of mankind. Or the big man upstairs. No, God is not the big man upstairs. He is God, Almighty God. Oh, turn with me for a moment. Spirit of the Lord has given this to me. You see, we have to learn how to reverence our God. And this goes for all of us. Even our children, when you're in school, you come to church, you know the way. You may not be saved, but you still, God is seeing what you're doing. And God knows that you know better. And so God is going to remind you. But look at what it says there in Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter. He said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools.
Yeah.
For they consider not that they do evil. You see, people believe they can say any old thing to God. Well, I can say this because I'm that. No, you are on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. He said, be not rash with your mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is where? In heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Even if you don't understand why God did it, be careful. Don't charge God foolishly.
Right.
Don't say anything before God. Because remember, you can't do anything. God is the one that speaks and man lives. And God is the one that speaks and man dies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, praise our God. Oh, our world needs to hear about God today. Our world needs to know some of the things you hear people saying. Oh, sometimes it makes me tremble. But he goes on to say there, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay. If people are running around all over the place and not paying these vows. He said, for he has no pleasure in fools. pay that which thou hast vowed. If you say you're going to do it, then you need to do it because it's before Almighty God. Then he said, better is that, is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Then look what he says in verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to what? Be careful.
Amen.
Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error, meaning, oh, I didn't mean it. My bad. No, God didn't accept that.
Amen.
Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Praise our God. See, when we are born again, not only changes our heart, but it changes our mindset. We now have a spiritual mind, an incorruptible mind, a mind like Jesus Christ. This is what we are told in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we have is the mind of Jesus. See, this comes from the new birth. It is not something that, as the world would have taught today, that it will evolve later on. Oh, you'll get that later on. No. The Bible says God creates in us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He gives us a new mind. We heard a lot about this week at the Bible study on drawing closer to God. Brother Levester spoke about it during Monday and Tuesday's lesson. Then Brother Maurice came through on Wednesday and Thursday. And then both of them spoke about it on Friday. They gave us scriptures to back up that our heart, mind, and soul must be changed from the old man to the new man. Brother Marie said, each step that we take in our Christian walk now as we draw closer to God must be with a pure heart. How
Amen.
Many understand what he was saying there?
Amen.
You see, what's in your heart is reflected in your life. Jesus said it in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at what he says there in Matthew, the 15th chapter, starting there with verse 18. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. See, whatever comes out of your mouth, it tells what is in your heart. He went on to say, for out of the heart proceed of evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. When people are committing these things out there, they're doing it because they have an evil heart, a heart that has not been changed by Almighty God. He said, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand defileth not a man. Basically, it's not what goes in you, but is what comes out. Oh, with a new birth, our inner person becomes our outer person. What you are on the inside is what's going to show on the outside. No one can avoid this. Oh, praise our God. This is why we must go on to perfection in our walk for Almighty God. You know, the world would say nobody can perfect it, but look what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 48. He went through a whole list of things in your leisure. I ask you to read this entire scripture in Matthew, the 5th chapter. He talks about the Beatitudes, starting out the Sermon on the Mount and various things, talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. He went on through a lot. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus continued on. Then when he got to the end, he says there in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. What are we to be perfect? Perfect in the love that Jesus had. Oh, praise our God. I thank God for his word, saints. I thank God it was left on record for us. I thank God so we'll know how to live before we die. And you are claiming salvation. You got to get out of the sin business.
Yeah.
Sin is the result of a corrupt heart. You must put away that old man that was corrupt and be born of the incorruptible seed of God. You see, when you have the incorruptible seed of God, you do not commit sin. I know this type of teaching is not popular in our day and time of sin you must and sin you can't help it, where many feel that they can live wanton and careless lives, thinking they are already pre-forgiven and eternally saved, with a one-way guaranteed ticket to heaven. However, God never promised pre-forgiveness.
That's right.
He died for all present and future sins. That God never promised that. Nowhere in the Bible states that Jesus Christ came to earth and died for our old present, and he died for our future sins. If you sin today, you got to ask God. I believe it was either in our Sunday school, Sister Blake mentioned it, or someone may have mentioned it in the review. If you are saying you're a child of God, God had forgiven you of your sins. If you turn around and you commit sin after you've been saved, you've got to go and ask God to forgive you of your sins. And I say to you, you better hope God will forgive you, because there's no guarantee that God will forgive you, because the Bible tells us in the Word of God, and this is why it's no plaything. When you say you come to God, you come to live for Almighty God. You got to live this life God has said in the Word of God. Don't play around with this salvation. Don't play around and think, well, you know, in the Bible it says back in Proverbs that a righteous man falleth seven times, and I think I'm on number two or three of that. No, that's not how God wanted this walk to be. God gave it there for a reason, because there are things that may stumble up in your life. There may be things that may come as you start out your journey for Almighty God. You know, the enemy is busy on every hand. Just because we've been saved for as long as we've been saved, that don't mean that we don't have to keep our oil in our lamp. That don't mean that we've got to keep on fire for Almighty God. I've got to keep on fire for God just as well as you do. If you're just now starting out your way with Almighty God, I can't get back and throw up my feet and say, I'm going to relax. No, Job said in the Word of God, he said, I was at ease in Zion. He ripped me asunder. I don't want to be ripped asunder, so I'm not going to say I'm at ease and put my feet back and kick up and not read and study God's word and not be amongst the saints of God and not meditate and pray as God has ordained for me to do in the Word of God. But I'm going to run on this race that God has set before me. But look at what Hebrews the 6th chapter says. And this is for those who believe that they can just sin. They can say, oh, I'm living for the Lord, and then go back out there in the world and then come back to God again and say, I'm saved again. Then go back out there in the world. When it doesn't taste right with God, then I'll go back out there in the world and get back out with sin. Look at what he says there. He says in chapter 6 of Hebrews, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto, here's the word, perfection again. He said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That means not coming in and asking, Lord, will you forgive me of my sins again? He said, in a faith toward God. He said, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands. See, when you go out there and you sin and you come back and say, Lord, saints, I sin. I ask God to forgive me. Will you forgive me, saints of God, too, so that we can go on? You got to go through and do all your first works. And those works are, you've got to be baptized all over again. And baptism is saying, I died to this old life and I'm risen now with a new life in Christ Jesus. Praise our God. He went on to say there, the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Then look what he says in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. See, you, when you come to God, that meant you were enlightened. You have been shown something. The Spirit of the Lord showed you a new life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord opened up your thinking, your avenue, so that you can see things in a godly way. The Spirit of the Lord looked down into your soul, and the Spirit of the Lord allowed you to see your condition. The Word of God was preached to you. He says, therefore, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God, meaning you set up on the Word of God, and the Word of God was penetrating. Remember, he said his Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word came to you. God's word got down into the bone and marrow, and God's word was able to save you. Then he goes on to say, in the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. See, and they crucify to themselves the Son of God. See, every time you turn around and go back out into sin, you crucify the Son of God afresh, and you put God to an open shame. What are you saying, Sister Renee? You put God to an open shame by saying to the world, God can't keep me. When you go back out in sin, you're saying to the world that, you know, that Christian walk, it ain't nothing. But let me tell you something. God has a plan, a salvation. And one door, one day, the door of salvation is going to be closed. Jesus said in the word of God, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear me, he'll open unto me. Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. He is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And when Jesus is inviting you to come in, come, they that are athirst, come. When Jesus is saying for you to come, because he is the only way to the kingdom of Almighty God, and he opens up that invitation to you. But one day that door is going to shut. That door of opportunity is going to shut. Sister Melson said downstairs to the children, she said, do you remember the Bible story of Noah and the ark? After Noah completed the ark, and he took in two by two of the animals God told him to take into the ark, God shut that door. And no one could get in. There were only how many souls? Eight souls with all the animals that were in there. And then she turned around and she began to talk to them about the 10 virgins in Matthew, the 25th chapter. There were 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 had oil and 5 did not. When the bridegroom came, those who did not have enough oil in their lamp went to those who had oil, and they were asking for their oil, but they didn't give it to them. Oh, the door was shut on them. What are you saying, Sister Renee? It's going to come a time where God, he said, my spirit will not always stride with man. And when God shuts that door of salvation, no man is going to be able to open it. You're not going to be able to come and say, will you pray for me? Will you lift up and ask God if God will be merciful unto me and save me? Because God is the one that will shut the door. Why would God shut the door? Because God is sending you a message of repentance. He's sending you a message and letting you know that mankind needs to be saved. He said, the day you hear his voice, and his voice is the word of God, and you are hearing his voice today, he said, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart and turn away from Almighty God, but come to God so that you can have a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, I know God has a better way for mankind than what we're seeing in our world today. When we see all the things that are taking place, we know that our God has a better way for man to live than how man is living today. We're told in 2 Corinthians, look at this, the words that Paul penned here in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse, when he was talking to the brethren there. And look at what he says there. He said, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Romans 5 lets us know that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. We're told in verse 8 of that scripture reading, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus paid the price so that we would not have to. Jesus' resurrection from the dead proved that his death was sufficient to pay the penalty for our sins. That is why Jesus is the one and only Savior. He is, and we've already quoted it, John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must come to Christ. God has given us the way to get into the kingdom of God, But in order for us to be partakers of his great plan of salvation, we must accept it by being born again. Accepting Jesus as your personal Savior means placing your own personal faith in him and placing your trust in him. No one is saved by someone else's faith. No one is forgiven by doing certain deeds. The only way to be saved is to personally accept Jesus as your Savior and trust in his death as the payment for your sins. Oh, praise our God. As we said, our God has a better way for mankind to live than a life of sin, especially to those of us who are saved. Now that we say we are born again, living in sin is what we were doing before we gave our lives to God. But now that we are saved, we have victory over sin. Turn with me to 1 John 5. Look at what it says there in the Word of God. Verse 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth him, and that wicked one toucheth him not. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 1, turn with me there for a moment. Due to time, you may have to read this in your leisure. But look at what Paul is saying here in the Word of God. He had said back in chapter 5 of this scripture, of this chapter, he had said here that, he said in verse 21, he said that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. But let me go back just a little further than that. Go back to the 17th verse. Oh, praise our God.
Amen.
I believe maybe I need to start there. Let me start at verse 13 of chapter 5. I'll start at verse 12. Chapter 5, wherefore, as by one man, Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and we know this is speaking of Adam, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For into the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, praise our God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. That means that God has saving grace for each and every one of us. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, praise our God, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And just because God has given us grace, that means that we don't run out there and just use God's grace to sin. That's not what this is saying. He goes on to say there, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, the condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Paul goes on to say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? See, when now that you're saved, you're a child of God. You say that I am dead to sin. He said, live any longer therein. When you're living for Almighty God, you cannot live with God and have sin in your life also. Amen. He goes on to say, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, meaning that we buried that old life and we've come up and we are new life in Christ Jesus. But before you went there to be baptized, you had to be forgiven, because you don't bury a dead man already. You turn around and have to make sure you have died to sin. And so we die to sin to rise to Jesus Christ. Praise our God. He goes on to say there, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk what? In newness of life. Are you walking in newness of life in Almighty God? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Praise God.
Amen.
Are you dead to the old man?
Praise God.
He said, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof. Praise our God. Yes, God has a better way for us. God has a better way for you and I to live than to live in sin and then turn around and say we are a child of God. Oh, the false doctrine of eternal security is out there. But oh, the word of God is true. Yes, that is a trick of the devil. Also, my Bible tells me in Hebrews 10, verse 26, these words. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more what? Sacrifice for sin. See, sin separates us from God. All unrighteousness is sin. Sin, as we learned this morning in our Sunday school, is a known transgression of God's law, meaning you know it is wrong, but you are going to do it anyway. Oh, you can't do that with God.
Amen.
Because remember, God is the one who speaks and man lives, and he's the one who speaks and man dies. Jesus said, we read it earlier, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where he is, you cannot come. And where Jesus is, he is now sitting on the right hand of the Father in the kingdom of God. Be careful. This is why we must know the truth, and the truth, the word of God says, will set us free. Praise our God. Praise our God. Not only did we have a dark past, we had a despised past when we were out there in the world. We are reminded of that in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 12. Also in Colossians, I ask you to read these in your leisure. 1:21, that when he came to us, we were not even part of a people. We were outcasts, part of a fallen race of people. We are, as Romans 5, verse 10 says, the enemies of God. Along with that dark and despised past, it was a deadly one. When the Lord came for us, we were totally unworthy of God's mercy and God's grace, but he extended it unto us. God owed us nothing. We all deserve to be in hell this afternoon. But it was his grace that reached down into our darkness and delivered us from such a wretched existence. How many know that it was grace and grace alone that made the difference in your life? We are told in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God for his amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I can sing the song, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Praise our God. See, the hymnal lyrics remind us that the true grace of God makes us able to stand before a righteous God and makes us worthy of walking with Jesus in white garments. To our new converts and to the lost this afternoon, no one can overcome the things of life except by the grace of God. For it is his grace that chastens us to live soberly, righteously, and God-fearing in this present world. Oh, you can read that in Titus, the second chapter. Because you know, a lot of times people will say, no one can live like that. That is, God doesn't expect us to live. Oh, but look at what he says there in Titus, the second chapter. And the saints of God know it quite well here. Look at how he says to us in that 11th verse, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, meaning nobody has been excluded. All men know about it. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, the world in which we live right now. Praise our God. Why should we live that way? Because we are told in another passage of Scripture, and I ask you to read this in your leisure too. In 1 Peter 2, we are told in verse 9 that we are a chosen generation. How many feel chosen this afternoon? A royal priesthood. That's what he tells us. He said, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out. See, we've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's why this new life in Christ Jesus is one that we have to live according to the word of God. A righteous life, a holy life. Praise our God. Oh, you see, there are only two kinds of vessels that God sees in this world, an honorable and a dishonorable one. It amazes me that the number of so-called Christians are those who claim to be believers who don't know that they have a responsibility to stay clean and to live a righteous life for Jesus Christ in this present world. Turn with me to Daniel, the first chapter, and look at what it says there in the word of God. God left his word on record for that we could go in and read and understand so that we won't fall into the same snares and pitfalls back in the Old Testament as the children of old. But let us look here in Daniel, the first chapter in verse 8. It says here, but Daniel purposed in his heart, meaning Daniel put himself under the full commitment to follow his heart. And his heart belonged to Almighty God. You see, as children of God, our God wants and expects us to honor him from our heart, as we learned this past week. But he went on to say, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Oh, praise our God. And then he goes on to say, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worth liken them, though children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me in danger, my head to the king. He was letting him know that the king might put him to death, because he was telling Daniel that Daniel, he had to bring this food to Daniel. And you Bible students know the story, that how Daniel went to him and asked that he would be given vegetable. He said, it says pulse there, which is herbs, so that he might eat, because he did not want to defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel wanted to honor Almighty God. You see, Daniel was there in a foreign country at this time, and Daniel had to take a stand to say that he was only going to partake of food that would be honoring to Almighty God. How about you and I? When we're out there in the world and we began to be pressed sore by the enemy to do something wrong, have we purposed in our heart, as Daniel did, that we are not going to defile ourselves, that we're not going to go against what we know the word of God said we ought not to do? You see, Daniel wasn't the only one there. There were the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys were already clean. They were already born again. They were already washed from their sin. They already were committed to Almighty God because God was their life. All they had to do at this time was to stand, having their loins girt about with truth. We learned about this on this past week. They needed to protect their hearts by having on what? The breastplate of righteousness. Also to protect their minds from idols and things that would come between them and Almighty God. Amen. By having on the helmet of salvation. See, they had, so to speak, draw a line in the sand. I'm going to be for Almighty God, or I'm going to go in here and I'm going to eat what the king has. Oh, but Daniel and the Hebrew boys decided that they were going to serve Almighty God at whatever cost. It would have been easy for them to say, well, it's all right. Everyone else is doing it. Or we had better do what the king says. Or we better obey the king outwardly. But we'll just keep our faith to ourselves. Oh, not so. You see, serving God wasn't a distraction for Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They were willing to commit themselves to God despite what the outcome would have been. What are you saying, Sister Renee? You and I have to have that same level of determination. And we've got to have that same commitment as Daniel, especially in our day and time. Let us not find ourselves compromising in any way. No, we need to be dedicated to Almighty God and to his plan for our lives. We've got to stand still at every opportunity we can and see the salvation of Almighty God. It might cost us our family members. It might cost us some friendships. It may go against a spouse or a companion, but you've got to serve Almighty God, and you got to know that God will honor what you are doing. If you stand for Almighty God, Almighty God is going to stand with you. Amen. Because did not God stand with Daniel? Did not God stand later on with the three Hebrew boys when the king came to him? Later on in that third chapter of Daniel, when the king came to them and he made a golden image and said they were to bow down and worship that image. But what did the three Hebrew boys do? They said in verse 17 of chapter 3, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. When they threw them in that fiery furnace, they had to know that they serve Almighty God. Amen. And if God didn't deliver them from them, come on, saints of God, if God doesn't deliver us from a trial that we might be going through, if God doesn't see fit to deliver us, we still got to have the same words. We got to say, oh, king, we will not serve your God. Oh, devil, I'm not going to bow down even if my God doesn't deliver me, but I'm going to serve Almighty God. Amen. And the beauty and holiness of his word. Are you there yet? Praise our God.
Amen.
Praise our God. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to lose your salvation. Stand for Almighty God. Oh, I know that it will not always be the easiest thing, nor is it the most popular thing for you and I to take our stand with God. And it will not always be understood by those that are around us, especially those who live in our household. However, it is always the right thing for you and I to do. If we will be willing to stand our ground for the Lord, he will certainly honor our stand, and our God will bless us. How many know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Those young men had a made-up mind. They were going to live for the Lord, and they allowed nothing, absolutely nothing, to change them, to turn them from their purpose. And our duty today is to be the same way, to faithfully serve God with everything we have, all of our might. We are to serve Almighty God. Oh, brother, ask this week, how do we protect our salvation? How do we protect our soul? By standing on the truth of God's eternal word. Jesus already declared in the word of God, he said in the word of God that the gate gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He told them there. He said, upon this rock, meaning the solid truth of his eternal word, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Are you standing on the rock Thursday afternoon? Are you standing on the truth of God's eternal word? Do you know that you serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think by the power that works in you?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
Our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Don't allow the devil to separate you from your God. Don't allow the devil to come in and say to you, oh, that's what they did back in the day. That's old. No, we got to separate our things, ourselves from things that are not of God.
That's right.
Oh, we learned about that this past week. We've got to come out from among them and be separate. Got to come out from this world and live for Almighty God. Paul said to the saints there at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, look at these words. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
You see, prior to Paul's conversion, Paul fought and persecuted and wasted the church of God. We are told in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
However, when Paul met God on that Damascus road, you can read about it in Acts, the 9th chapter, a complete change happened to him. This is why Paul could say to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Praise
Amen.
Be to Almighty God. We all can say that this afternoon
Amen.
If you're serving Almighty God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And then his letter to the saints at Galatia in Galatians 1, verse 18. Look at what he says there in this scripture reading. He says there in 18, then after 3 years, I believe I have it wrong there. He was saying to them, for you have heard of my conversation. Paul had talked and let them know that in the past that they had heard of his conversation. Verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past. In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Don't think Paul was boasting at this time, but Paul was telling them what Paul had done, because Paul wanted them to know how God had brought him and what God had brought Paul through. And look at what he said, and profited in the Jews' religion. Above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But praise be to Almighty God, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Praise
Amen.
Our God. Paul talked about his conversion as when God separated him from his mother womb. He called all Paul. You see, it was God who put life within Paul. It is God who's put life within you and I now that we are children of God. After God separated from our mother's womb and God took us and called us by his grace, he cut off that old life that we used to live and he translated us into a new life in Christ Jesus. This is why Paul says we are now new creatures in Christ Jesus. As a new creature, we live differently. It's not about shaking holy water over us,
Amen.
Nor is it about shaking a man's hand or writing our name down on a member car, nor was it by us sitting in a confessional box, having someone listen to us tell about all the things we did in our filthy lives. No, it was the act of Almighty God.
Amen.
See, when we came to Almighty God, he made you and I kings and priests. When Jesus rent that veil, he opened up the way for you and I to be able to go into Almighty God. And we can come to God on our own and ask God to forgive us of our sins. Praise
Amen.
Our God. Praise our God. Oh, God's grace is there for all mankind. You see, the grace of God didn't just come in and put a blanket, so to speak, over our sin and allow us to continue on in them. Not so. God's grace gives us the avenue in which we need to take to become free from sin. And now that we are children of God, and that Christ is in us. We are told in Romans, the 8th chapter, we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you say to me that you are saved, then I say to you that you must be pursuing a life of holiness. And if not, it's a good chance that you are not a child of God. Oftentimes you will hear folks say, oh, the love of God covers a multitude of sin. Yes, his love will, when you confess your sins and are born again. To the lost this afternoon, you could be loaded down with sins and have committed every sin that you big enough to commit. But if you come in old time repentance and being business with God, the love of God will cover your sin and remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. You see, God paid a big enough price to spiritually clean us up and to keep us clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. How many this afternoon know what I'm talking about?
Amen. Amen.
That is why we are the church of God. His church is without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. The church is not this building where we are right now, but it is all of us who are saved, born again into the family of God, who've been saved by God's grace, have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise our God. Being a new creature means that the Holy Spirit of God has made us alive in Christ. He's come to dwell in us. Having a new nature means something this afternoon, saints. It means we've been delivered. It means we are now in the family of God. It means that the Spirit of God now bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It means that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, I say this message is speaking to the young as well as to the old this afternoon. One of the worst things I believe the devil has done in our modern times is to get religious folks to think that you have to have some special service for the young people and something different from the old. This is why you go by places and they call themselves church and they have up traditional for the old and contemporary for the young. My Bible tells me in Psalms 33, verse 15, he, God, fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works, meaning it makes no difference whether you are young or old.
Amen.
Or what era you live in. The gospel is reverent to you. Oh, you better come to God while you have time. He tells in Ecclesiastes 12, to our young people. And what these words, he says there in that 12th verse of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, he says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God wants you to come while you're young. God can mold and shape you and change you. God can make you into a child of God that God wants you to be. God wants us to live for him who died for us. I thank God for his word. I thank God for being on record. In order for us to have a new life in Christ Jesus, we've got to be committed to the things of Almighty God. We have to believe that he will deliver us, deliver on his promises that he's made in the word of God. Saints of God, the only thing that hinders us from claiming the promises of God would be a lack of faith or commitment to the things of God in his word. We're told in the 37th division of Psalms, he said, starting with verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do you believe what the word of God says? You see, as a saint of God, we've got to be committed to him. We have to have a deep love and devotion for Almighty God. I truly understand living in a time that we are living in right now, a time of despair, a time where doubt is all around us, a time where people are talking about it and you hear it so prevalently. Oh, you hear people say, oh, I just thought I would end my life. Oh, my, I've never thought that. Oh, devil never brought me that, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
That's the time in which we are living right now. There's so much fear in our land. So much stuff is happening on every hand. You know, COVID has had us all. You think about it for a whole year. I think someone said it's been a year, a little over a year now. COVID has been in the land, and it's still reaping havoc. Souls are still dying. Although numbers are coming down, souls are still dying from it. But I don't see souls running to Jesus like they should. Saints of God, our responsibility is to turn souls to Christ Jesus. We got to remember, he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know many are worrying about things that are going on right now in this life. But in Jesus is our hope. I have to say, there were times, yeah, when I was out there in the world, I worried too. I can remember a time when I wasn't sure of myself and I worried unnecessarily. But praise our God. Our God always has something to turn it around. In my Christian walk, I've learned that the Lord provides what we need. Our God is a right on time God. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And he gives us what we need, and sometimes he gives us some additional little nuggets, so to speak, things that we didn't even ask for. In your leisure, I ask you to read 1 Kings. We're coming to a close. 1 Kings, the third chapter, when God asked Solomon in a dream to ask God, what shall he give him? Later on in that chapter, we learned that God gave Solomon his request. However, we are told in verse 13 of that scripture, he said, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days. He went on to say, and if thou would walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Praise our God. Saints of God, I know all of us have been there. Oh, our God is good, isn't he?
Yes, amen.
Our God is able. He has enough in his storehouse to go around. All we need to do is ask. I know that might sound or seem ridiculous to many people, and at a time it seemed ridiculous to me, but it's true. God is able to give us more than enough.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't know, we don't have what we need because we don't ask him in faith. James said in James 1, look at what it says there in the word of God. James 1 says, starting with verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You sometimes, you know, saints of God, when things start beginning to happen, we get all upset, but he's telling us to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, praise our God. He said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. See, faith, here's faith again. You got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and toss, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. As terrible as the valleys of life can be, they can be extremely valuable to us, saints of God. It is in the valley that we learn the eternal truths of Almighty God. You think about it. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the furnace of persecution. They learned about the God who controlled the thermometer and the outcome of it. It was in the lion's den where Daniel learned about the God who controls all manner of life, even the vicious lion. It was by the brook where God showed Elijah how he could use a raven to bring him bread and flesh throughout the day. And then it was what Jesus did to give sight to a blind man from birth that showed that he had power to heal. And we could go on and on and on. Oh, but the Lord, Spirit of the Lord wants us to know that although the valley of life can be a place of pain and heartache, there is more than that. The valley is where we can find the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. Praise our God. The valley of life is where God's grace is its strongest and his lessons for us to learn. Praise God. See, our strength comes from Almighty God. And if we are going to be ready to live for God who died for all, we are going to have to know where our life investments are. We have to know that we have invested our life into Almighty God. We got to deny ourselves. We got to lay all on the altar of sacrifice. We got to live for Almighty God who died for us, who sent his son to die for you and I. I know many of us, when we were out there in the world, we got caught up in a lot of things that were going on. But now that we are children of God, we got to forsake all of that. We've got to live for Almighty God. We got to know that this way, this new life in Christ Jesus is the way that we've got to go. If we want to make heaven our home, when we leave this life, we've got to know that we are committed to the things of Almighty God, that we are trusting in God through it all. We're learning to trust in Jesus. We're learning to trust in Almighty God. We've got to live a righteous life for him in this present world. That's what God wants us to do. We can't defile this temple of Almighty God. I know many of us, when we were out there in the world, we've got all kinds of things on these bodies that we put on out there because we saw someone else doing or someone else told us it was okay. We could go out and we've got tattoos and body piercings. That was when we were out there in the world. If you had it before you came to God, you've asked God to forgive you. Now that you're a child of God, God doesn't need us to go out and get a Bible tattooed on us to show that we're a child of God.
Amen.
He doesn't need us to have scripture tattooed on us to show that we're a child. No, this body is a temple of Almighty God, and we've got to live that way. We are now new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we don't want to destroy the temple of
Amen.
Almighty God.
Amen.
So let us live as though we have been converted, that we've been changed from the old man to a new man in Christ Jesus. Oh, see, we have a new goal. And our new goal is to make it into the kingdom of God. Paul said in the word of God in Philippians 3, he said, I press toward the mark, meaning the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the goal that you and I should have. And it is worth it all. Blood, sweat, tears, all that we have to give. We've got to press for the high calling of Almighty God. We've got to know that we're living according to God's eternal word so that when we get to the end, and saints, we're closing, we get to the end and we can say, as Paul says, turn with me there to 2 Timothy and look at Paul's words here in that scripture, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Paul says, for I am not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul got to the end, but oh, Paul had a testimony.
Yes.
He had a testimony that he did all what God wanted him to do. He said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. But you know what? Saints of God, we got to go on for Almighty God. We got to avoid the traps of the devil who will try to keep us from striving for the mark that is set for us, which is the price of the high calling of Almighty God. You see, so many get started in this way. They get all primed and primped up to run for Almighty God because we are running a Christian race. But after a few short months or years, they become distracted and fall away. They fall out of the race. But let us not fall out of the race. Let us not be like we do when we make New Year's resolutions. When we say, oh, at the beginning of the year, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to change my life. And then 2 weeks into it, we end up stopping or we end up doing something else. Serving Jesus Christ doesn't have to be like that.
Amen.
You can go on. So you have a testimony in the end that I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And know that crown is laid up for you. And the righteous judge, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Oh, let us run this race with God.
Amen.
Let us run looking for the prize that God has for us. Let us know that when we run and when we go all the way for Jesus Christ, that we can celebrate and know what Jesus said in the Word of God in John 14, where he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. God bless you. It's my prayer.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God for his word today.
Amen.
Thank God. Before I say another word, I want to apologize to Pastor Jenkins. When she first got to start to speak and she was talking, she made reference to a Bible study, and she was quoting the statistics about the people who call themselves Christians, and she said that Brother Lori, they were called notional Christians, mm-hmm. and she said it right, and I said I'm over here to talk about notational, and as soon as I said it, Spirit of the Lord said it's notional. She said it the right way, and so I want to apologize for that, because they were notional Christians. I believe our Sunday school book used to call them nominal Christians, Christians on the surface. That's not when we have a new life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It goes all the way in and all the way through. And that's what Pastor was preaching about to us today. And let us don't fall out of the race. Don't drop out. Stay in there.
Amen. Amen.
If we have a new life in Christ Jesus, then we have to do what Jesus said. We have to take up our cross and follow him. Jesus said to do that. So if we have a new life in Christ Jesus, if we're living in Christ, if you're living in Christ and something happens within yourself, and it may not be anything that you said out loud where anyone could hear, or anything that you did where somebody could see, but you know the thoughts of your own heart.
Yes.
And that's where the devil starts to work to begin with.
Amen.
And if you feel within your own mind and heart, if something happens, an occasion happens in your life, and you feel an old attitude start to creep up in you, and you can feel something start to rise up in you that you know is not of God. Because and the enemy tries to do that in all of us. You can rebuke him, because you can even talk and say, I do not belong to you. I belong to my Lord.
Amen.
I have a new life in Christ Jesus. I don't follow your dictates anymore.
Amen.
I follow the word of God.
Amen.
I follow the commandments of my Lord.
Amen.
When we have a new life in Christ Jesus, we are a new creature. We have a new head. We don't follow, as even as we said in the responsive reading, we don't follow the voice of strangers.
Amen.
When we're a child of God, the devil is a stranger to us. He is no longer our commander. Because if we're not saved and we're in sin and serving sin, then we're serving the devil. People don't want to think that way. They don't want to serve God, but they don't want to think that they're serving the devil. But there's only two. We're either serving God or we're serving the devil. But when we have a new life in Christ Jesus, we have to and we want to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our heart's desire. And we're not doing it out of constraint. We're not doing it because God is a slave driver. We want to be our best for the Lord. We know that he gave Jesus to die for our sins on a cruel cross. And so we want to be his child. If there's anyone who doesn't know this new life, in Jesus, who has not given themselves over totally to serve the Lord, who has not asked to have their sins forgiven, who has not seen their own guilt before God. That I beseech you, I beg you, consider the word, because you don't have to remain in sin. You don't have to be bound for hell, because Jesus shed his life that we might have this new life in him, that we can be born again. Pastor Jenkins said near the beginning of the message, the only way for you to get into heaven is to get heaven into you. We have to be born again. We have to have the Lord dwelling in us. Amen. And with every step in drawing closer to God, it must be with a pure heart.
Amen.
So if there's something that is in you that you, it's not pure. I know I'm not where I need to be. Go to the Lord. Don't just let it stay there, because the devil is not going to let it just stay there. He's going to build it up and make it grow into something else, and then something else, and then something else. And pretty soon you don't even recognize yourself as being a child of God, because the enemy can take that one little bit, that one little germ of sin, or that one little germ of not being quite right, and will cause it to become more and more and draw you farther and farther away from God. If there's one who will say, who will feel in their heart, I want to belong to God because I don't want to be lost, you can come to an altar of prayer. Just come. The Lord will receive you. Amen. And what shall we sing?
403.
Number 403 in the worship of the Lord.
Please stand.
Thank God for his word. Amen. I surrender all. We'll sing all of the verses, and then we'll sing the chorus. Page 403 in the Worship of the Lord. I surrender all. That's what it takes, surrendering to the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender. Oh.
God. That's what it takes.
Amen.
We have to surrender to him to get saved, to be born again.
Yes. Yes.
And we have to remain surrendered to him to stay saved. Amen. Say, Lord, I would have your way in my life and in my heart. Amen. Thank God for the message today. A new life in Christ Jesus. The whole, all three messages that were preached over the last three Sundays. We thank God. The complete message. What the Lord wants us to know how to live in this life. He wants us to know what he expects of us. What we have to do to be acceptable in his sight. Amen. Is there one who has a need? The one who has a need. So just remember me in prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We know that the Lord is able. There may be even one who heard it over the broadcast system. If someone is at home and they heard this message, you can bow on your knees and cry out to the Lord. Amen. And he will hear a cry of repentance. Amen. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the message, dear God, messages, dear Father, that you have sent to us. Lord, we thank you, dear God, because we know, dear Father, that you're admonishing us. Lord, you're teaching us. Lord, you are instructing us, dear Father, of how we must live in this life. Father, we know, dear God, that you have pointed out, dear Father, that there are things, Lord, that we cannot do and still be your children. Lord, there are things that we must do in order to please you and satisfy you, there are things that we must do in order to have clean hands and a pure heart in your sight. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, for bringing your word. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Jenkins, dear Father, breaking the bread of life to us, dear God. Lord, knowing, dear Father, that, Lord, you sent your word, Lord, for a reason. Lord, you know, Father, the things that we go through. Lord, you know each of our lives, dear Father. Lord, we know, Lord, that you see our uprising and our downsetting, dear God. Lord, you see everywhere we go, Lord, and everything we do. Lord, you know every word that's in our heart and in our minds and even in our tongues. And, Lord, we know, dear Father, that, Lord, you sent your word, Lord, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And so we thank you, dear God, for the message that was preached today. We thank you, dear God, for giving Pastor Jenkins the strength, dear God, to preach it. We thank you, Lord, for opening, Lord, the word, your word first to her, Lord, and allowing her, Lord, to bring it to us. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to stand on your word, to walk in your word, dear Father. Help us, dear God, to have life in Christ Jesus, dear Father, because we know there is no life in any other. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember each upraised hand, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, be our portion, dear God, for each hand that was raised. Help us, dear Father, to stand steadfast in thee, dear God. Help us, Lord, to run this race, Lord, that you've set before us, dear God. And even as Pastor Jenkins preached, Lord, help us, Lord, not to drop out, dear God. Lord, you told us, dear God, that, Lord, we would reap if we faint not, dear God. Told us, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing, dear God, for you said, Lord, in due season we would reap if we faint not. And so, Lord, help us, dear God, not to faint, dear God, but, Lord, to rejoice at the promises that you've made to us. For, Lord, if we stand true, Lord, when done with this life, we know, Lord, that you have a crown of life, dear Father, for us, if we'll just endure unto the end. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to walk worthy, dear God, of your word. For, Lord, truly we know, dear God, that, Lord, you will never fail us. Lord, remember, Lord, each soul, dear God, if there are those, Lord, who heard this message and they're not saved. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, in your mercy, dear Father, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and draw them to thee, dear God. This we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Now have your way, Lord, in our hearts and minds. And again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Be with us, Lord, and direct us, dear God, that we may be obedient, Lord, to all of your word. And we will give you glory and praise as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated for a moment.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for our visitors today. And again, Miss Delois Taylor, she came with Sister Kiba. Again, we welcomed you at the beginning, but we just want you to know that we're so happy that you were here. And your visitor for the first time, you have two children. I think we saw them come in. We're glad to have them also. And we would love for you to come back. We have Sunday school that begins at about 9:20 a.m. And looking at their ages, I think maybe you'd be in our class. They'd be in our class as well. And we would love to have them in that class and love to have you in the adult class as well. But we're just so glad that you're here. If you would like to just stand, if you would like to have a word, if you would like to express yourself, you don't. We're friendly and nice people. You don't have to be shy. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. So good to have you. And just. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And you as well. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see Zaria. Hadn't seen her for a bit, but glad to have you here. Zari, would you like to express yourself?
No.
All right. Hi. So good to see you again. Amen. 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 Thank the Lord. We have just a few announcements. Always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Reminder, don't forget to take your vitamin D. Time is here to start preparing for the November turkey giveaway to the community. The canister is available for contributions. The first part of our study, Bible study, was last week. What a blessed meeting it was spiritually in our growth in the Lord, drawing closer to God. This lesson will pick up again in the fall. The dates are September 20th through the 24th. Please read chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 11 in What the Bible Teaches, our book. Please pray for our facilitators, Brother Lavester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake, as they are preparing to give us what the Lord has shared with them. Continue to pray for this work in the Lord. And again, we thank God for what he did for them and for us. Amen. We look, Lord's will, we look forward to September. If the Lord blesses us to see it, that we might continue to study the Word of God together. Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study will be at 7 p.m. by phone. We thank God for that. Pray for Brother Byrene as the Lord gives him the next lesson to bring to us. Happy birthday blessings, Jaslyn McElroy, on May 31st. And we thank God. She put her birthday offering in Sunday school. And we thank God. She said she'll be 14. And we thank God for blessing her to reach this age. Amen. We would say the ripe old age of 14, which, you know, when you're old, it doesn't seem like a ripe old age, but when you're only about 10, 14 seems pretty old. So thank God for having blessed you. We've all come up in those stages, and so we thank God for blessing you to reach this age and pray that he'll continue to bless you to reach many more. Amen. We thank God for blessing Sister Millicent and Brother Mann to drive the church bus today. God bless them with traveling mercies, and we thank God for that. We're asking to lift up Brother Pierre Johnson, Jr. He is scheduled to drive on next Sunday, next Lord's Day, so lift him up in prayer this week. We also have an announcement. Class, the class of 2021, Reynoldsburg City Schools. We, the class of 2021, are pleased to announce our graduation from Reynoldsburg High School, Bell Academy, and STEM Academy, Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021, and Encore Academy and High School, STEM Academy, Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, pending appropriate weather conditions. We are proud to announce our twin daughters, Micah Lynette and Soraya Monette, graduation from Reynoldsburg High School, June 2nd and 3rd at 10 a.m. due to COVID-19, immediate family only. Brother and sister Williams. Amen. Amen. So their twins will be graduating on the 2nd and 3rd. So they have so many, they have to stretch it out over 2 days. Amen. Amen. That is a large school. And so we thank God. We know that Micah came recently, a couple of Sundays, with Brother William. And so we're thankful that God has blessed them to be up in age to graduate from high school, and they'll be going on to college. And what schools will they be going to, Brother? University of Kentucky for Sarai and or Micah. Amen. Central State. All right. Amen. So continue to pray for them. We know that college is something else. So continue to lift them up in prayer. Remember, brother and sister Williams in prayer also, because the twins will be away, and so mom and dad have to adjust to that also. So, but continue to pray for them. Our young people, when they go away to school, there are many things, and the devil has things out there waiting, and so continue to lift them up in prayer. Very much so. Amen. Our thought for today, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Amen. Sailor has to learn to deal with the storms as well in order to be skilled. And so I guess anyone can sail on a smooth sea, but it takes with skill to when the sea gets rough. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. If all minds are clear. Yes, sister. Oh, Pastor Jenkins said next week the governor is taking off the mask mandates. She says she doesn't know what the church wants to do. What is your pleasure? Because now we're wearing them when we get up and walk around, and then when we're sitting we're not. What would you want to do? Yeah, exactly. Quite a few of us have had both shots. So however the Lord directs. Pastor Jenkins, let the Lord lead you, however the Lord directs, that's what we do. And if some are walking with no mask on, that's what the Lord told them to do. If others are walking with their mask on, that's what the Lord showed them to do. So we're not going to be judging anybody. We're still sanitizing. We're still wiping off the Sunday school tables and still spraying all the pews. But whatever the Lord directs you to do. All right. Shall we stand to be dismissed? Amen. Thank God. Brother Jackson, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Amen.
Yeah, I think I'll just